In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, in the process of coming to the faith and becoming members of the Church, we would all have had certain significant moments in this regard. There were the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, first confession and first Holy Communion. For many, there would have been perhaps a conversion experience whereby we see our faith in a new light. We become more serious about it. And we make a personal commitment to live by that faith. These are the bigger moments. We're certainly grateful for them, but we also understand that we have to work hard to keep these moments alive. If I was converted to the faith sometime in the past, I cannot simply rely on that past event. I have to make it current. I have to live in the present time and the present time with the same enthusiasm that I had at that time. The season of Lent makes us conscious of the most important thing we could think of, the most important thing in our life, and that's our salvation. And that salvation is a process, a continuous application of effort on our part, assisted and directed by the grace of God. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord expels demons with great ease, and he therefore demonstrates that his power is far greater than theirs. For our part, for our complete healing, however, we need to cooperate in that process. We have to pitch in and help this process work. We have to show our Lord that we're willing to be his disciples, that we want to be his disciples, and we're ready to make any necessary changes in our lives for that to be made possible. If we're stranded at sea, for example, we would certainly want to cooperate with a rescue effort, no? And once we're pulled from the sea, we're certainly not going to dive back in. So we're freed from sin, from the demons that lead us into sin, yet we can still desire and be tempted back into sin. St. Mary Magdalene, for example, shows us she had 7 demons cast out of her, but then after she became one of our Lord's greatest disciples. So our commitment has to be continuous. We have to persevere. And remember, perseverance is a virtue that we're called upon to practice. So we go to church on Sundays, but on the other days of the week, we have to live like it was Sunday, at least in regards to our Catholic faith and our Christian values. Being good, we know, can seem like hard work, given that we have to stay on top of things all the time, every single day, and in every situation. Virtues just don't pop up on their own. They have to be given the right conditions for growth, like a tender plant. So we have to pray for them, and we have to strive to practice them. If it's hard, we know it's made much easier by God's grace, which is always freely available. So we have to pray for it, and we have to cooperate with it. The objective is that once the virtues take hold, it won't be such an arduous effort to be good. It will become second nature for us, the instinctive reaction, for example, to be humble instead of proud, to be generous instead of avaricious, to be meek instead of angry, to be truthful and not false. Our Lord wants to help us, to free us from all traces of sin in our thoughts, in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions. He wants us not just to keep the rules, not just to do the bare minimum, but to be transformed. Transformed from within so that we no longer want to sin and that we'll want to obey the rules, obey the commandments. The devil's temptation won't have a hold on us. And then we're ready to obey our Lord's instruction. Go and sin no more. And we know in all this it's easy to lose our way. Think about how many Catholics have received the sacraments or had a conversion experience and how they're presently fallen away. Lost to the church. To be saved and to stay saved requires that we be continuously alert to all the factors involved. We have to do our part. We have to renew our commitment every day. We have to avoid thinking that we can do it on our own. And we have to avoid the other extreme, which tells us that becoming holy, practicing the virtues, is something impossible. So the lesson today is for us sinners. The lesson is to repent, to convert. If we've done these things, then the message becomes stay converted, persevere. Many people fall away after conversion. Could happen to any one of us if we're not vigilant. Certainly, we're grateful that we came from darkness to the light, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, but we must not think ourselves so strong and so good that we can never fall from grace. We can, of course, make it certain that we don't fall away, but only by the grace of God, and only if we cooperate with that grace. We cannot just do it by sheer force of will. We need help. We need spiritual help, supernatural help. So in today's gospel, our Lord casts out the demons and shows us his divine power. He's here for us today to do the same thing, to cast them out, to free us from their influence, to help us in the battle against sin and evil, those three enemies of our souls. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, in our Lord's time, we know the demons were clever and put every obstacle before our Lord's ministry to impede it, to stop it. Ironically, they defeated themselves when their orchestration of the crucifixion led to the salvation of the human race. Our Lord fought these demons in his time, and he now helps us. The devil is, according to St. Peter, likened to a roaring lion seeking whom he would devour. And much of his work, the devil's work, will be done through appearing to be harmless, appearing even to be helpful, like when he tricked Adam and Eve, assuring them that it was okay to eat of the forbidden fruit. Remember, he always remains malevolent. His rage does not diminish. He's far more dangerous than any known beast, lion, bear, dragon, whatever. But we can be consoled because we're loved. We're loved by God above all. We're loved by Our Lady. We're loved by the angels and saints. And it pays to remember always there's someone trying to destroy us. So we need to have this healthy awareness of the devil, not to be preoccupied or obsessed, but at least aware. He cannot harm us if we stay in our proper domain. So we entrust matters beyond us to God, trusting that He will reveal to us what we need to know in the proper time. Many people, unfortunately, no longer take the devil seriously. They see him more as a legend or some sort of a cartoon character. But I assure you, Canon can assure you, that he is very real and he is out to tempt us, out to get us, to trap us. And this goes along with the general permissiveness of our society, the sense that nothing is really off limits, that we can do more or less what we want. The church used to say, you could go to hell if you died in a state of mortal sin. Unfortunately, somehow we don't hear that anymore. Here, we hear it, but other churches, maybe not. Hell hasn't gone away. Mortal sin hasn't gone away. You might nuance things a little bit more than in the past. For example, not everyone who commits suicide necessarily goes straight to hell. There are certain circumstances in which they don't have full power of reason. God is the judge. But the magnitude of difference between choosing Christ or the devil remains. Every one of us faces a choice to spend eternity in heaven or hell. All our moral choices should be made with this reference point in mind. We avoid complacency as we know the devil is going to try stick his foot back in the door. He's going to attack as long as he can. And if we're still alive, we're still potentially vulnerable. St. Paul says, the man who thinks he cannot fall, he better make sure he doesn't. I'm paraphrasing. He'll present all kinds of traps for us so that we sin. If we're not vigilant, he's going to get to us. So what is needed is overall greater love of God, a greater love of God on our part so that we don't want to offend him in any way. We try to know the rules, to keep the rules as well as we can. And our desire to please him must always increase. That's the main point. And remember that we don't become perfect all at once. It takes pruning and cutting, learning from our past sins and mistakes. We're all progressing through this. We build up our strength to become impervious to temptation, to present a stronger face to the world. The world makes fun of us, especially Catholics. Laughs at the things we believe in. Laughs at our faith. Laughs at our sinfulness as well, our faults, our defects. So we have to go from amusing them to startling them, surprising them by our purity of life, awakening them to a true state of affairs. Every person, each person faces eternity in heaven or in hell. So my friends, if we consciously seek to nurture our spiritual lives as we should be doing during this Lent, carefully preserving the gifts we've been given, seeking to improve upon them, weeding out the sins and the faults, then we greatly increase the likelihood of final perseverance. And God will bring forth the desired fruits from our lives if we only let Him. Well, it's not hard after all if we have the proper mindset. We take our Lord's warning in today's gospel as a call to renewed vigilance in the pursuit of holiness. And once we're on the right course, we stick to that course. We never deviate from it, right or left. And by the grace of God, we can stay on course and we shall be saved. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.